Hi, and welcome to the Calvary Foursquare podcast. Our goal at Calvary is to reach our community with the truth and love of Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians 2:8, it says that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. So if you would like to find out more of who we are, you can go to our new website at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or search for us on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare. Thank you for listening and enjoy the podcast.
So fun to have my husband at my side, I must say. He thought he was retiring, but the joke was on you. No, you refired. That's what you did. So last week we came up to Philippians 3 and 7. We're going to review a little bit and read through, kind of go verse by verse and just share a little bit and just
have some fun.
Yes, we're going to have some fun. Father, we trust you to just let the words of our mouth today, the Holy Spirit, you take these words, your word, and you bring life to your people, Father. Give manna from heaven today. Everyone here, Father, there's something that they're struggling with. There's something that they're unsure of. There's some wisdom that they need imparted today. So, Holy Spirit, we thank you that that's what you're famous for. You're the teacher, the comforter, that you've come. Jesus, you said it was good that you go, that you would send us the teacher, the comforter. So we receive today, give us ears to hear, give us eyes to see, and give us a humble heart to understand and be changed.
And Father, I pray for clarity this morning. I ask you, Lord, to help us in our communication and conversation.
Yes.
Give us the words that will really be a benefit and a help to all of us in this room today and those that are watching through the live stream. And Father, we're also thankful and grateful for your word because you sent it. You sent your word to us, and your word heals us, and your word delivers us, and your word strengthens us. But Lord, also your word convicts us, and your word challenges us. Mm-hmm. And so, Lord, wherever we may find ourselves in whatever state we may be in today, Lord, let your word do a deep and mighty work in our hearts today.
Yes.
And let our minds be just a little bit more renewed today. Lord, and our relationship grow just a little bit more today. That Lord, in all of these things, that we just come closer to you in love and in grace and in mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're starting in the middle of Philippians 3 with 7. And just right before this, Paul had listed his pedigree, his specialty pedigree of why he could trust in his own self, his own confidence more than everybody else. And he listed about 7 things. And then we're starting in 7 then, where he says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. This was a complete reversal of values here for the Apostle Paul. He was awakened to a surpassing knowledge of something that he was unaware of before. And when the light came and knocked him off his high horse, so to speak, he had a revelation. He had experiential knowledge of something. And it changed everything in his life. It changed his values. And now it was worth giving up everything to gain, letting go to gain. Some things God is wanting to do in our life, but he's asking us to let go of some things so he can fill you.
Yeah, and in verse 7, he talks about loss, and he talks about it twice. And so in the first one, he says, these things have counted loss for Christ. He's talking of a past tense. But when he says, yet indeed I count all things loss, he's talking about the present. And so there's things like what Cynthia said, you know, all of his fame, all of his success, all of his everything, he just did away with that. He says, listen, this is gone now. It's lost. It's put behind me. And now I have to continue to count all things as lost. So everything that he does, and see, I think that's something that really can be helpful in that we don't really want to count on our past successes. We don't really want to come to a place where we're kind of content because, well, I did this or I did that. But it's a continual counting things as lost. Whatever keeps rising up before us, you know, we have to be careful. We have to remember that it's a progress. It's progression. It's not about a one-time thing. Well, I did that, and now that's over, and now I can just kick back and relax and be chill and be, you know, all of that. It's
retired.
Not like that. Yeah, retired. Whoever created that word, we should just take him out back and shoot him. I don't know, but yeah, false hope, right? It creates this false hope sometimes of, yeah, but really it's good because when there's life in us and breath in us, there's still something God has for us. And so we want to continue to keep moving forward in that. And he counts it all as loss. He says, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. And so there's the pursuit. He's laying it out. He's creating this foundation here of laying out, well, what is the purpose? What is the pursuit? It's the knowledge of Christ. It's the gaining of Christ in us. And in verse 9, you want to go to verse 9, huh? Yeah, and he says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Bye-bye. So listen, God has given unto every one of us a measure of faith, okay? And so with that, we have a responsibility to do something with that.
Yes.
It's not in our becoming a new believer or born again, a new creature in Christ. It's the righteousness that he had that was because of the law. He realized, man, that's not the righteousness of God. I mean, it says he was blameless. Yeah, he said he was blameless. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. When it came to the law, he was blameless. He was righteous. But yet he comes to realize that's not the righteousness of God. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I have found myself there in self-righteousness, you know. And just one other of you, gosh, you guys, I don't know. Yeah, we, you know, sometimes it's there, you know, whether it's looking down on someone or being proud of something that I did or whatever, but it's the self-righteousness. And then all of a sudden you kind of realize, oh, yuck. How yuck, man, that is so yuck, man. Well, terrible. I hate that.
Well, and he said, I put no confidence in the flesh. That's the switch of values now. You know, so what do we put our confidence in? Is it our job, our work ethic, our family, our friends, our reputation, you know? We all have been there because that's all we knew until we had a saving revelation of a saving knowledge of his love and we got a different perspective on things. So the big thing was what he thought. Where he got his source of worth before, it was switching now. His identity before was his successes, what everyone thought of him, his how hard he worked, how he was blameless in the law. Now, his identity was to be found in him. And that's where resurrection, death and resurrection is the baptism. What was that signifying? The old Cassie died and is now under the water, and now it's no longer Cassie who lives, it's Christ who lives in her. And making that profession outwardly, what happened inwardly when we surrender and give our life to Jesus.
And so this righteousness, this new right standing with God that he has, he's come to realize is from God. But he has to still exercise his faith to walk in it.
Yeah.
I mean, the purest definition that I can think of righteousness is the ability to stand in the presence of the Father without the sense of guilt, without the sense of inferiority, as if sin never existed.
Yes, hallelujah.
Could you imagine that?
That's what we
are. That's what we're moving toward. That's the progression that we want, the process we want to go toward, is coming in, is exercising by faith the righteousness from God because he has made us righteous. Not because of any works that we should do, least we should be able to boast, right? But because of the righteousness that he has given to us.
Yes, not because we're good, because he's good.
Yeah.
Amen. And nothing kills intimacy with God like shame and guilt. So you, and that's where the enemy will come in and try to make, pull up old things, you know, play old tapes, you know. And you say, you know what? That's true. I was that, but I died. It's no longer I who live. So if you'll agree with your adversary while you're on the way, then it just puts him to shame. You get the, if the devil can get you to look at you, he's got you by the neck. Because even if you're trying to be a self-improve and, you know, oh, I, you know, you're dogging yourself because you're not as good as you think you should be. You know, the devil's got you because your eyes are in the wrong place. He says, as you behold him, you're changed. Mm-hmm. So just agree with your adversary. Say, yep, that's right. I was a failure. I was all those things. But thank God Jesus put me to death on the cross. And now he lives through me. And I come before God as if I never sinned. No sense of guilt, no sense of shame. And that's your standing in Christ, to be found in him. Well, Paul said that's what that means for you and for me and for Paul.
Amen. Preach it, sister.
But, you know, the Pharisees were intent on killing Jesus, not because he was breaking all their rules, and he was, but because he dared to speak of God as his own father. He was not seen as a moral person by their standards. He didn't wash his hands before he ate. He didn't keep the Sabbath. I mean, he talked to the woman at the well in Samaria. He broke all the rules. But that's not why they killed him. They killed him because he had this union. He said, before Abraham was, I am. He talked about his father is in me and I'm in him. And that same glory when he prayed in John 17 that he's given to us now. It's not about morality. It's about connection, union with Christ.
Let's talk about that morality for a minute.
Okay. Go ahead. What is that? Right and wrong? You know,
yeah,
some
so,
people, yeah.
Yeah, so who decides what's moral and what's not? Who decides what's moral, what's immoral? Who decides what's right and what's wrong? And so we have this really interesting thing going on. What Cynthia was talking about is the Pharisees were looking at Jesus and not seeing him as a moral person, okay? Because he ate with sinners and publicans and because he talked to prostitutes and...
And he let a woman wash his feet with her hair.
Unacceptable people, you know, they said his morality is his... He's so immoral, you know, and it's like... Well, who decides that? And so there's this religious morality, that really wants to try and create a standard that really becomes so high, who can contain it? I was listening to a friend of mine. He was sharing with me what he had been doing at his church, and as he was talking about what he had been sharing and things he'd been talking about and sharing, And I just had to tell him, I said, you know, brother, I said, I could never rise to that. I don't know who you're going to get in your congregation to rise to that, but I just don't know that it's possible for me. You've set a standard so high. I said, and how are you doing with that? You know, I mean, is it, hey, would you guys, AJ, would you mind kind of dimming these lights a little bit to create this glare on my glasses and I can't see faces as well as I'd like to.
So. We want to see you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of blinding for me. Thank you. And so, morality, what is it? Who decides what it is? And that's where sometimes I think when we talk about morality or what's moral, sometimes I think we're having the wrong conversation. Because we all come with different experiences, right? We all have these different expectations and thoughts. And if we're not careful, we'll get religious about it and not allow relationship to develop out of it.
Yes.
Because if we look at somebody as immoral, then it becomes impossible to have a relationship with them.
Judgment.
Why? Because of judgment?
Yeah.
Because of shame? Because of incorrect thought, looking down upon them? Yeah.
Judgment is the energy. You don't have to say anything. You can feel it, you know. But yeah, I heard it said that you can always tell if you're eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil or eating from the tree of life. When you're eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you walk in a room and think, what is right and wrong here? When you're eating from the tree of life, you come in and you say, how can I impart Jesus here? It's a different mindset.
Yeah, and there really needs to be a good balance between the two because we need both. We need to be able to come in and see, have some perception of things, right?
Yes.
But we also need to make sure, how can I serve who I'm coming in contact with? What can I do for them? And because that's what love does, right? Love decides, okay, what is best for this person? How can I be a blessing to them?
And if our brother is overtaken in a sin, it says, you at your spiritual, you go and restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, lest you also be tempted. Knowing that, you know, you're no better than anybody else. The most horrendous sin I am capable of. Yeah. And realizing that. See, the Pharisees, they didn't see that. They were so unself-aware of their own sin that they couldn't even see clearly.
Yeah, self-righteousness will do that. And it makes me think of the account where they're telling the account where there's two people standing at the altar and praying, and one is in a proud way looking down at the other one and saying, Lord God, I am so glad I'm not like that one. Where that one is praying, God, have mercy on me, and beating his chest. God, have mercy on me. And so they
and
walk
Jesus
away.
Said that one went home justified.
Justified, that's right, that's right. So really, be careful, will you, about what you think.
Because that's in all of us, the Pharisee and the publican. At any minute, you know, it can switch here. You know, you can start realizing, wow, if you're putting someone down because they struggle with a sin that you don't struggle with, you know.
That's where it's at right there.
Yeah.
Be careful of that. If not for the grace of God, there go I.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
And so we don't want to be judgmental. That's Jesus' job, okay? His job is to judge. Our job is to love.
Yes. And in John 17, Jesus, he offers the great prayer of unity. He said that you are in me and I am in them. I've given them the glory that you've given me. This is the prayer that Jesus prayed to the Father right before he was facing the cross. And this is the indwelling presence of the glory of God. This is a gift. And it's your dignity, and it's unearned. All we can do is bow before it in surrender and allow that presence to control our life as we get bigger on the inside than we are on the outside.
Amen.
And that takes some pressing on. That takes some, what we're going to talk about here with Paul. He had a purpose. He wasn't slackered in his relationship with God and what he knew about himself and how he wanted to grow and know him more.
Yeah, so you want to experience the glory of God? Listen to that prayer again. That, where'd it go?
That you are in me and I am
in
them.
And I have given them that glory.
That's what Jesus prayed.
The indwelling presence is his glory. So that's the prayer of Jesus. I have given them that glory. What? That oneness.
Yes.
You want to experience the glory of God? Work toward or strive toward or press on toward that oneness with him.
Christ in me, my hope of glory.
Yes. That's the real glory that we want to experience on this earth.
So the state of sin is really an inferior state of disconnectedness. That's what it is, really. Just being disconnected. I'm putting confidence in my flesh instead of trusting in Christ in me. We go on to the next verse?
Sure.
Go ahead, you want to read
verse 10 and 11 that we have up there?
Mm-hmm.
That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. So this is a very powerful group of scriptures right here. I mean, it's in follow-up with not my own righteousness that's from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God in faith. And he goes, what is that? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death.
Yeah, what says to me as you just said that was that the only way that we can know him is if we're not in self-righteousness.
Yeah.
Because,
that's pretty strong, but
yeah,
true.
Because self-righteousness cuts us off from that connectedness to be found in him. We got to stay in him. Jesus said, abide in me and my word abides in you. Ask whatever you will and it shall be done. You know, so Jesus talked about abide. Without me, you can do nothing. It's an interdependence on the Holy Spirit. And, you know, there's many voices in the world, so we have to fine-tune to hear his voice. Because the world is loud, y'all, and our peers are loud, and fear is loud. So you have to take time to get quiet, for the kingdom of God is within you. And start to listen to your heart and pay attention to what comes up as you just get quiet. Just take 2 minutes just to try to quiet your mind and just say, I just abide. I'm enough. Like Cassie said, I am enough, God. I just take my place seated together with you. Even if it's in the middle of the day, you just go in the bathroom or whatever and just take a minute just to secure his presence. Once again, let the barnacles of the cares and fear and everything just shake it off and just say, God, I just take my place in you. I'm enough. No matter what I'm feeling, I'm enough in you.
Amen. He's laying out a lifestyle for us here.
Yes.
He's laying out a pattern that we can look at and begin to work toward living out in our own life. So as he was talking about everything he's counted as rubbish, you know, it's not his own righteousness, but it's the righteousness of God, so that as he accepts the fact that, okay, it's not my righteousness, it's his righteousness, I receive that by faith, now that I may know him. And so how's that going to work out for us to really come into a place of knowing him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings? Mm. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We get to look at the fellowship of his sufferings. What does that mean? Being conformed to his death. It goes on, he says, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. So, you know, in with Jesus, it was suffering and then resurrection, right? Suffering, then death, then resurrection. But with us, it's resurrection.
Okay? Suffering.
It's resurrection, then suffering, death, knowing him. You see the reversal of that? So we really have to really work toward, and I know in my mind, come to this place where I figure out, what does that mean to experience the resurrection of Christ? Mm. What does that mean to experience the power of his resurrection? Well, first, it's through the new birth. It's through becoming a believer. It's through believing, okay, I believe in God, and I believe in Jesus, and I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the power of his resurrection. I believe that Jesus suffered. He died on the cross for me. I believe that he was buried, and I believe that on the third day he rose again from the grave. I believe that he now is forever seated at the right hand of the Father, forever making intercession on my behalf.
Great.
I believe in these things. And so by coming to that place of I choose to believe, you know, sometimes I get mixed up with my feelings, and I allow my feelings to dictate what I'm going to do or what I'm not going to do. And I get caught up in that. And I need someone to come along and just give me this bop upside the back of the head.
Not me. I would never do that.
You'll do it. You know, sometimes it's my spouse. Sometimes it's a friend. That's one of the reasons I really, really love the men's ministry going on Monday night. I love what Rick is doing there and Dave and AJ as they lead us through these conversations. Man, we have such authentic conversations.
Awesome.
Guys are confessing. They're coming to this place of faith. I know for me, I'm confessing. It's so powerful. Men, women, you can't come.
But Jesus had a language.
Don't try and put a hat and a big coat on and fake it, okay? We'll figure you out right away. Well, if you got cookies. All right, first drop the cookies off, then we'll kick you out, okay? But yeah, I mean, we need somebody in our lives that will help us when we're being moved more by our feelings than we are by what we believe or our faith.
If we want to grow up.
Powerful. If we want to grow up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking the truth and loved each other, you grow up. But Jesus had a language, you know, except a grain of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abides alone. You know, Jesus talked about death. Well, I believe what has to die is our ego. See, that's what was dying in Paul. Everything he got his source, his worth from, he counted it but loss, that he might gain real life, that Jesus would be his source, that his true identity was in Christ.
How many sermons have you heard in your lifetime about suffering for Jesus? Probably not very many. Yeah. It's probably a conversation we need to have more of in the church, because if we're not careful, we inappropriately paint a picture that it's all hallelujahs and
roses.
You know, champagne and wine and roses and bonbons and, you know, sitting by the pool with my iced tea and my moon pie, you know, or whatever, and just, you know.
We can give people the false idea that when you come to Christ and everything will be wonderful and that there's no suffering or that he will make everything comfortable for you. But I don't see that in Paul's life. He suffered. You talk about suffering. And he said, I feel bound in my heart to go to Jerusalem, knowing that awaits there for me is whippings and beatings. But you know what he said? Neither do these things move me, because I don't count my life dear to myself. See, he wasn't out for his own comfort, his own will, because he had counted it all but loss to gain. You know, and in the Bible, I was thinking about, there's a lot of loss and gain. We notice three different parables that Jesus talks about losing and finding. In Luke 15, he talks about the lost coin, the lost sheep, the lost son, the animal world, the physical world, and the human world. In each case, you think you have something and you lose it, and you rediscover it. And then in each of the three parables, when you rediscover it, a party is thrown. Because you really don't have it until you've lost it and you re-choose it consciously. That's why they say your breakdown is your breakthrough. Should we go on?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to dwell on anything too long, but man, that suffering thing is, I mean, let's talk about just for a minute what kind of things we're talking about, suffering here.
Well, there's a verse in Timothy, I think it says, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And when I read that one time, it's like, oh, maybe I'm not living so godly. Because really, I've not been persecuted a lot. I mean, there's been some, but nothing like those that are living for Christ over on the other side of the world, you know.
In some countries, yeah.
The churches of America, yeah, but, you know, it's probably coming.
Well, or is it that, like you said, maybe we're not doing,
aren't being godly in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Not bold enough, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, I think some things we could suffer, you know, we may end up suffering loss of family because of it.
Relationships.
Loss of friends. I mean, I remember when I came to Christ, I had to find a whole new group of friends. I'm sitting with them, and I begin to share my testimony with them, and they go, man, that's great, Steve, here, have a hit. And so it was like, yeah, no, I can't.
A loss even of a job. Maybe you're in a job that's toxic for you. You can't stay abiding in Christ because this environment is so toxic, you know?
Yeah. Have you ever had a fellow worker or family or a friend or a boss or anyone tell you that you talk too much about Jesus. Yeah, but the sufferings, you know, that we're going to lose because of our faith in Christ.
It hurts.
It does hurt.
Yeah.
It is a death.
Even Paul said, I buffet my body, because he's running a race, you know. And so there's things in our life that maybe we enjoy feeling sorry for ourselves. Maybe we enjoy some things, and God is putting his finger on and asking you to count it but loss to let it go. And that's individual. You know, what maybe God's dealing with me about, you could do all day long, or vice versa, you know. He's so individual as far as his dealings with us, how he wants you to gain Christ.
Yeah. What's that?
Next verse.
Okay.
You have something else you want to say about suffering?
Probably, but we probably should move on. Or should we just finish up next week?
Well,
because we're only about halfway.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. You want to pray?
Yeah.
I hope you took something away today, a nugget, to apply it in your life and to be a doer of the word. Father, we thank you for your word, God, that it's life to us, God. Father, we don't want to be like a boxer who just boxes the air, as Paul said, God, with no aim, with no purpose. But we, Father, want to run this race in this life and finish our course. God, and I know that we can't do that without a wholehearted, earnest attendance to your word, attendance to our own heart, and attendance to your Holy Spirit. So, Father, I thank you today for speaking clearly and loudly to everybody here today. What you're asking them, God, to lay down so that they can have life like we've never known. I want to grow, Father, in the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of your suffering, God, even though I say that with fear and trembling, God, that my flesh likes comfort. Yes. We thank you, God, that when you give, if there's any suffering in our life, you also give us the grace to endure and the joy to overcome.
Yes.
So we're not afraid of what might come.
Yes.
Father, I thank you for every person here, that they would feel your presence this week, God, in their work, in their home, in their car. Draw them to yourself with your sweet peace. We ask in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to hear more of our messages, or find more information on who we are, you can find us at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare Church. Thank you again for listening, and have a good day.